experimentation.
Vision.
The next idea.
People mean very different things whenever they talk about innovation.
From the Sears kit houses of the early 1900s to the Farmfield McMansions of the 90s, the way we heat and cool our homes has pretty well followed this formula. You build a space the size you want and then install heating and cooling to keep the square footage comfortable. Today's guest on The Next Idea is building a house in Washtenaw County that turns that whole equation on its head. Michael Clement is the founder of the firm Architectural Resource, and he's working on what's called a passive house. And he's here with us now to tell us more about the concept. Michael, welcome to The Next Idea.
Cynthia, it is a thrill to be here with you and share this groundbreaking idea and this groundbreaking house that we're putting together.
You're going to be building the first passive house in Washtenaw County. What is the theory behind a passive house? How is it different from what we've been building houses for the last 200 years or so?
Well, in the lead into this interview, you correctly stated how we've been typically doing things is we build what we want, and then we just get a big enough sledgehammer to heat and cool that house. Passive house takes the approach that what if we looked at energy performance as one of the key metrics of our design protocol? The concept behind passive house is if we can design, site, and build a house in such a fashion, we can reduce the energy consumption of that house by 80 to 90% over a conventional code-built home with technology we have right now, right here, today. And then the idea is by reducing the amount of energy consumption that the house requires, because the cleanest, greenest, and cheapest energy is that energy we don't have to add to the system, we can then add the ever so smallest amount of energy using fossil fuels. Or, in many cases, we can use renewable energy, such as solar panels, and make the house net zero, or in some cases, net positive energy.
When you say 80 to 90% over what most of us are paying to heat and cool our houses, that is gobsmacking. It
yes.
really is.
Yes.
Where did this all come from?
Great question. So as you remember, we had this little thing called the oil embargo back in the mid-70s. And that catalyzed a lot of different thinking in terms of how we considered our homes and energy. Believe it or not, in Urbana, Illinois, the passive house concept was first hatched. That's where it took hold. And then, of course, the oil embargo over, we invent the SUV, we forget everything. We're not the sharpest crayons in the box, it appears.
We do not have long memories.
We don't have long memories. So the concept of passive house then jumped across the pond, and a gentleman named Wolfgang Feist took this concept and then did the German thing to it, and added a lot of math and science behind it and developed a program which allowed a very highly technical evaluation of the various different aspects and parameters of a home to be paired up with the energy possibility of the sun and internal gains such as your own body heat, plug loads, lighting, and designed a metric which is called the Passive House Institute of Europe. That then came back across the pond with a woman named Katrine Klingberg. And Katrine set up office in Illinois and established the Passive House Institute of the United States. Why this is uniquely important is that in Germany, it's essentially the same climate zone from north to south. So it's essentially homogeneous. The weather and the temperature and anything we're going to be looking at is going to be the same.
Not so in the U.S.
Not so in the U.S. In the U.S., we have climate zones all the way from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, to Spokane, Washington, to Boise, Idaho, to Tempe, Arizona. Completely different in terms of both temperature, but also humidity and weather durability, exposure to moisture, rain, all that stuff. So the brilliant idea that Katrine put together is working with the National Renewable Energy Laboratory, NREL, out in Colorado, and the Department of Energy. She established the Passive House Institute of the United States protocol, which is climate specific. So we have metrics to hit that are different depending on where you are in the country.
Which makes sense. So what you're going to build in Washtenaw County is nothing like what you would want to build if you're building in Arizona.
That's exactly the idea. And what we were finding is that using the European standard for passive house performance, we were running into overheating situations. We were also running into very significant conversations about the return on investment and the economics of how much insulation that they were adding. In fact, kind of an eye-opening article came out in a publication called The Green Building Advisor called How Much Insulation is Too Much. And so what Katrine did with the Passive House Institute of the United States is by pairing up with the Department of Energy and a program called BEOPT, B-E-O-P-T, Building Efficiency Optimization. They've actually tuned this, so we're looking at the ideal amount of insulation for the specific climate, specifically where you are in the country. It's brilliant.
Now, a lot of people have heard the term LEED certification for buildings. This is not that. How do they compare? How do they differ?
It is completely different from LEED. LEED is Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design, and it's a program that's been put together by the United States Green Building Council, which is a non-governmental entity which has been established to forward the concept of sustainable design and building. It's phenomenal. We have actually done several LEED certified projects. We were responsible for the first LEED certified whole house remodel in Michigan, and we're actually working on a project down in Jefferson City, Missouri, which is going to be that state's second LEED certified new home construction. LEED looks at what's called resource categories, and there are 8 different resource categories that range everywhere from location and linkages, how close or far you are from an urban center, which impacts your energy and your sustainable aspects, water conservation, indoor air quality, site development, materials usage. It's a broad brush look at many areas of sustainability. Passive House focuses on specifically one particular area, energy consumption. And the passive house concept is if you look at our situation as a species on the planet and what we're facing currently, that the highest and most important thing that we need to focus on is climate change. And that drives directly to carbon dioxide production, which drives directly to fossil fuel consumption. And so the whole focus for FIAS is on energy consumption because they feel that that is the most, all the other aspects are very important, absolutely important. But I have to tell you, I have a lot more clients coming to me who are interested in reducing or in many cases eliminating their energy bill. And that's what FIAS focuses on.
Does a passive house look different?
So funny you should say that because a passive house doesn't have to look any different than any other home.
If you've got a traditionally built house, would you be able to retrofit it?
You absolutely can retrofit it, yes.
Okay.
What we look at in passive house is we want to pay a lot of attention to the building envelope. I call it our third skin. So we have our first skin, which is our skin, our second skin, which is our clothing, and our third skin, which is the building envelope. We want to reduce the amount of energy loss through that envelope so much that we can literally heat our house with light bulbs, or your cat, your body heat, a few neighbors coming over. And to do that with an existing house, what we basically do is add additional layers of insulation to the exterior. Outside of the insulation that we're looking at, which drives to something called R value. R stands for resistance to energy flow. So we want to increase the R value of our envelope so we reduce the energy flow. But what we also want to look at is this insidious hidden energy loser, which is the leakiness of our homes. This is called convective energy loss. The DOE claims that most of our houses conventionally built have, if you aggregate all of the leakage holes you have in your house, a 3-square-foot hole that's 24/7, 365, taking that heat that you paid and the moisture you added and right out the window.
Or the cooling that you're adding in August.
Exactly. It's a two-way door. So in passive house, the metrics that we have to hit for certification are 5 in design and 1 in construction. The 5 in design, we look at peak heating and peak cooling. We look at annual heating and annual cooling energy consumption. And we look at source energy consumption. Source energy is really critical. When people talk about a net zero home, they're usually talking about site net zero home. Now, let me help you understand this. When you get your energy bill from DTE and it shows you how much energy you're consuming, what you're not aware of is that there's a loss factor between when the energy comes out of the ground and DTE converts that fossil fuel into electrical or whatever it's sending to your house, of about 3.25. So what we're thinking of is, even though my house on site might be net zero energy, I have this additional energy that's lost through generation and transmission. So it's kind of like if you have a 70 mile per gallon car, it's actually performing at 20 miles per gallon.
So what we've got and what we've been living with is inefficient and leaky and expensive.
Exactly. And unhealthy.
And unhealthy. Because this is healthier?
Why this is healthier is, let's go back to that ventilation question. So for certification, we look at net energy use for the year, annual heating and cooling, peak heating and cooling. We look at source energy. And then we also look at air leakiness. So what we do during construction is we test the house to see how leaky it is by using a device called a blower door. And what that essentially is a gasket that we put in that closes off your front door. And then in the gasket, there's a fan that's attached. The fan turns on and sucks the air out of the house, depressurizing the house. We drop the pressure so that we have the equivalent of a 50-mile-per-hour wind blowing at the house on all sides. And then we measure the air leakiness. We have to hit a certain metric to meet passive house certification. Now, let's see if I've got this straight. We're looking at focusing on our energy use, both at the house and also at the generation plant. We're looking at making a super tight house. What's going to happen, Cynthia, if I put you and your family in a house that's super tight, like a thermos bottle, and then I tighten the lid up, is over a course of a few days, you're going to asphyxiate because you won't have enough fresh air coming into the house.
Okay.
And the moisture that you're going to be generating through washing and bathing and just transpiration. So what we do with a passive house is we ventilate it, but we ventilate it in a controlled fashion. And what we do is use something called an energy recovery ventilator. So imagine that 3-foot square hole that we talked about that most houses have. We're going to still have a 3-foot hole, but it's going to be bringing air through a device that can take 80% of the heat energy off the outgoing air and put it back on the incoming air and also recover the humidity. So it's like having a hole in your building or a window opening without having the energy penalty.
This is fascinating. It's like looking into the future of what we need. Is it expensive to build a passive house?
The fundamental question is looking at the cost, the return on investment. What we find is a passive house typically costs anywhere from 10 to 15% more than a conventionally built home. But what I always caution people to look at is understanding the difference between price and cost. Price you pay once, cost you pay forever. And the concept with a passive house is we are going to make a higher investment on the front end in a more durable, more healthy, more energy efficient home, but you will get that payback over time. And what we are finding is that we are so used to living in conventional homes that when people have a chance to visit a passive home, they can't believe it's been described as womb-like, W-O-M-B, because in most of our houses, as you walk past windows, you feel the convective energy flow, you feel the radiant energy exchange, and we just get accustomed to having these hot and cold spots in our house. In a passive house, the temperature doesn't vary by more than 70 degrees anywhere in the entire home, and that is by design. And people that have the opportunity to visit and live in passive houses never can even imagine living in a conventionally built home.
We're changing the thermostat up and down, and
exactly.
Some parts of the house are cold and some are too warm and
exactly.
So on. So many great ideas start out as something rare that is very expensive, available only to a very few, from flat screen TVs to laptops, so on and so forth. And then eventually becomes something available to the masses, if you will. Is this the type of thing where you're on this cutting edge of things where it can eventually work its way into general construction practice?
That is exactly what's happening. Like you're suggesting, like flat screen TVs, any other new technology, when you're out there on the forefront of that, there is going to be a learning curve and there is going to be a little higher expense on the front end. But what we're seeing already happening is an exponential growth in the number of passive houses being built in the country. In fact, what's happening on the East Coast in Pennsylvania is they are recognizing the long-term benefit of passive house performance, And they're requiring that for public projects, public housing projects. Passive house is now the code minimum in Belgium for all new buildings. It's code in Germany. I tell the story that at one point in time, we had single pane windows and we had walls with no insulation on it. We do a lot of projects with remodeling and we go and visit homes that are built in the 20s and they have a grand total of zero insulation in their walls. At some point in time, some yahoo rode into town and said, you know what, I'm going to add some insulation to those walls. And that was probably looked at as revolutionary. And then someone came in and said, I'm going to go from a single pane window to a double pane window. In our lifetime, Cynthia, we will be very, very comfortable with triple pane windows. That's just going to be a matter of course. It's just like if you remember when automotive industry first came on the scene in 1900s, within 10 years, the automobile became the primary source of transportation and the horse was now behind us.
It was fast.
And we are seeing that same thing happening right now. And frankly, the time has never been more critical. We are literally at a very significant point in the course of human history where we have an opportunity to make some decisions that are going to be determining how things are going to be playing out for our future generations.
How long do you expect it'll take before this first passive house in Washtenaw County is standing and being lived in?
That's a great question. We're going to be starting construction soon. And as part of construction, because this is something that's new and exciting, we are going to be having what we call visible green home tours. And I'm really excited to share this with you. So for something that's new and as exciting as this, people really want to get inside and look under the hood and kick the tires and learn about this stuff. That's exactly what the visible green home platform does. And so at two critical points during construction, we will have weekend tour that will be every hour on the hour. It'll be myself and the builder will be taking small groups of people through the home, no more than 25, and really letting you physically see what's going on and what's happening with the project. And we're anticipating the construction is going to be somewhere between 8 and 10 months.
And how would people find out who want to see these, get on the tour? How would they get on the info list?
The best way to find out about this is to either call our office at Architectural Resource or email me at architecturalresource.com. And get on our invited guest list, and then you can be sure to receive an invite to that when we do that. We'll also very likely be putting something in social media and putting things out into the market as well.
Michael Clement with Architectural Resource building the first passive house in Washtenaw County. Thank you for sharing your work with us, Michael.
It's been a complete honor and thrill, Cynthia. Thank you so much.
Support for the next idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.